Welcome to the deep dive. You've brought us a really interesting collection of sources this time, covering, well, quite a range: air travel recommendations, exercise, healthy habits, risk reduction, and even info from the Rain Center.
Yeah, a center focused specifically on venous and lymphatic health.
Exactly. So what we want to do today is really pull out the key insights from all this for you, the listener. We're looking at how these things connect, especially if you're managing lymphedema or, you know, you're worried about the risk.
We've got stuff here from the National Lymphedema Network's Medical Advisory Committee, info from that Rain Center, and some pretty detailed PDFs, too.
Right. And we know, thinking about lymphedema, all the triggers, it can feel a bit overwhelming, like navigating a maze sometimes.
For sure.
So our goal here is really just to shine a light on the important paths, give you some clarity, some practical stuff you can use, but without, hopefully, information overload.
Sound good.
Okay, let's get into it. Air travel seems like a big one. Where should we start?
Absolutely. Air travel comes up so often. And these sources, particularly from the National Lymphedema Network, the NLN, you know, their position is quite clear. For people who already have diagnosed lymphedema, they should be wearing compression therapy during flights. That's the main recommendation.
Okay. Should wear it. Period.
Pretty much. Now, for those who are just at risk of developing it, it's a bit more nuanced.
Ah.
Yeah. The advice is they should consider it based on their own individual risk factors. And definitely talk it over with their healthcare provider. It's not a blanket, yes, for everyone at risk.
And the reasoning behind this, the why, is actually pretty interesting. It's about the cabin pressure.
Exactly. Yeah. The pressure drops. Effectively, you're suddenly at, what, 6,000 to 8,000 feet altitude?
Wow. Okay.
And that lower pressure, well, it can mess with the pressures inside your body's tissues. It might make it harder for fluid to get back into the lymphatic system efficiently.
So, leading to more swelling.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the concern.
It almost makes you wonder, is there any link to how people living at high altitudes manage fluid? Different mechanism, maybe, but pressure changes.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, the core issue is environmental pressure affecting body fluid balance.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe some parallels. But for air travel and lymphedema risk, compression garments are key. They provide that external support.
Like a gentle squeeze.
Kind of. It helps encourage fluid resorption, stops it from pooling too much in the tissues. The sources also mentioned bandages. They can increase that interstitial tissue pressure even more.
Right, the fluid between the cells.
Yes, and they can help the muscle pump work better too. But, and this is important, you need proper training from a specialist to use bandages effectively. It's not a DIY thing.
Definitely not. Okay, so for someone with lymphedema using garments on a flight, the NLN has specifics.
They do. Get a well-fitted garment before your trip. Way before.
Yeah.
And wear it a few times beforehand.
Test drive it, basically.
Exactly. Make sure it's comfy and fits right. Compression levels. They suggest at least 20 to 30 millimilli-HG for the arm and 30 to 40 millimilli-HG for the leg.
Okay.
And, crucially, if you're wearing a sleeve on your arm, you need a handpiece too. A glove or gauntlet.
Ah, to stop the hand from swelling up instead.
Precisely. And timing, put it on before you take off and keep it on for maybe 1 to 3 hours after you land. Give your body time to adjust back.
Got it. What about bandaging for travel if someone needs that level of support?
Again, training first from a certified lymphedema therapist. Apply the bandages before you fly. Keep them on until you reach your final destination.
Whole journey.
The whole journey. Then you can switch back to your regular compression routine once you've arrived.
Okay. Now, beyond just compression, what else does the NLN say for all travelers thinking about lymphedema risk?
Movement. Big one. Just sitting there for hours slows everything down. Blood flow, lymph flow.
Yeah, you feel it.
So move your limbs often. Wiggle your toes, flex your ankles, get up if you can. Prevent that fluid pooling, especially in the legs.
Simple, but crucial. And luggage.
Good point. Avoid heavy lifting with the affected or at-risk arm. Shoulder traps on that side. Probably not the best idea.
Strain.
Exactly. Use roller bags. Ask for help. Don't put extra strain on that limb.
And something maybe less obvious, hydration.
Yes. That cabin air is so dry, dehydration can actually change the pressure in your capillaries.
Really?
Yeah. If you're prone to lymphedema, getting dehydrated can concentrate proteins in your tissues, which then pulls more fluid out of your bloodstream, potentially making swelling worse.
Wow. So drink plenty of water. Simple fix.
Super important. Drink up.
What about seat choice? Does that matter?
It can, yeah. Especially for lower lymphedema. If you can swing it, extra legroom helps. Bulkhead seats, maybe first class. more space is generally better for comfort and movement.
Makes sense.
Oh, and having a doctor's note might help smooth things over at security if you have garments or bandages. Just a practical tip.
Good to know. And apparently, newer planes might be slightly better.
Yeah, the sources mentioned things like the Airbus A380, the Boeing Dreamliner. Mm-hmm. They might have slightly higher cabin pressure, more humidity. Could make a difference, potentially.
Interesting. Any food or drink advice?
Yeah, the usual suspects. Go easy on alcohol, caffeine, salty foods before and during the flight.
The dehydrators and swellers.
Pretty much. And if you're traveling internationally or you've had cellulitis before, maybe talk to your doctor about taking antibiotics with you just in case.
Precautionary measure.
And wearing a lymphedema alert bracelet or necklace. Always a good idea.
Okay. Now, we need to touch on this controversy or maybe just the lack of certainty about compression for people who are at risk but don't actually have lymphedema yet.
Right. And the sources are upfront about that. There just isn't strong evidence one way or the other right now. No definitive yes or no for routine compression if you're only at risk.
So what's the guidance then?
It's an individual decision made with your healthcare provider, someone who knows your specific situation, your risk factors.
Personalized medicine.
Exactly. And if someone at risk decides to try compression for, say, a flight, it is absolutely critical that it's fitted properly by an expert. Don't just buy one online.
Bad idea.
Very bad idea. Test it before you travel. And if it feels tight, constricting, or actually increases swelling, take it off immediately.
Okay, that underscores the need for professional guidance. Let's shift gears to exercise. The sources seem really strong on this.
Oh, yeah. Physical fitness, healthy weight, super important if you have lymphedema or you're at risk.
Yeah.
Exercise is framed as like essential for management.
Not just nice to have.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
But we need to differentiate, right? General activity versus specific types of exercise. We talked about managing risks while sitting on a plane. Now let's talk about being proactive with exercise.
Good distinction. What types are we talking about?
Well, the NLN breaks it down into three main ones. Mm-hmm. Aerobic, strength training, and flexibility. And then they have this specific category called lymphedema remedial exercises.
Okay.
There's also mention of other things people try, like Pilates, yoga, aquatic stuff. They might be beneficial, but the research specifically on their lymphedema impact isn't as strong. So caution and medical guidance are key there.
And it's not one size fits all, right? It depends on the person.
Absolutely. Depends on how severe the lymphedema is, what caused it, other health issues.
Okay.
It's very individual. And worth noting, a lot of the research has been done on breast cancer-related lymphedema.
So findings might not perfectly apply to everyone.
Exactly. We have to be mindful of that.
Tell me more about these lymphedema remedial exercises.
Okay, so these are active repetitive movements, but without much resistance. They're part of what's called complete decongestive therapy, or CDT.
CDT, that's the main treatment approach.
Yeah, it usually involves lymphatic drainage massage, compression, exercise, skin care,
right.
The whole package.
Hmm.
These remedial exercises fit into that, usually during the intensive phase and then for maintenance.
And the key is?
They're done while wearing compression. Garments or bandages, that's crucial. The idea is the movement plus the compression helps the muscles pump lymphatic fluid back more effectively, reducing limb size.
Okay. Like a specific kind of gentle pumping action.
Kind of. They mentioned similarities to some Tai Chi or Qigong movements, but these are really tailored for edema reduction with compression, whether they prevent lymphedema in at-risk folks or work without compression. We don't really know yet.
Interesting. Okay, what about flexibility and stretching?
Important for range of motion. Keeping things moving freely. It helps minimize scarring, stop joints getting stiff, things that can block lymph flow.
So not a direct treatment for the swelling itself, but helps overall function.
Exactly. Lymphedema can make you stiff, and good movement helps lymph flow. But caution is needed if you have really tight muscles or bad scarring from surgery or radiation.
You see a therapist first.
Probably best. They might need to work on that before you start stretching on your own. They specifically mention axillary web syndrome, AWS, that cording after breast cancer surgery. That definitely needs specialized stretches from a therapist.
Got it. Makes sense. Now resistance training. Weights.
Yep. Can be body weight, can be actual weights. Isometric tensing without moving and isotonic moving against resistance both seem okay.
Yeah.
The mantra is start low, go slow.
Gradually build up.
Right. Build strength safely. And interestingly, some research shows resistance exercise with compression might actually help reduce limb volume for some people.
Oh, really? That's good news.
Yeah. So. And importantly, studies on women at risk after breast cancer found that resistance training didn't increase their risk of getting lymphedema. Plus, you get all the other general health benefits of strength training.
Win-win. Okay, anaerobic. Cardio.
Your walks, jogs, cycling, swimming. Stuff that gets the heart rate up, uses big muscle groups, improves heart and lung health, muscle conditioning. Good for overall health, good for weight management, which is important for all lymphedema types.
Any downsides shown?
Not really.
Yeah.
It hasn't been studied as a direct treatment, but no adverse effects on lymphedema itself have been shown in the research cited.
What about doing both? Weights and cardio?
Seems to be a good combo. No adverse effects found there either. One study even suggested breast cancer survivors who did both had better lymphedema control, fewer flare-ups.
Wow.
Another study hinted it might even reduce the risk of developing lymphedema in at-risk women.
So combining them might be extra beneficial. When putting together a program, what are the key things to remember?
Progress slowly. Always. Use your recommended compression. Pay attention to your body. Report any pain, extra swelling, discomfort.
It's into your body.
Absolutely. And while a lot of this comes from breast cancer studies, the basic principles probably apply more broadly. But you always have to factor in other health conditions.
Right. Any common adjustments people make?
Yeah, things like making sure you rest enough, avoiding weights or clothes that constrict too much, staying hydrated, avoiding extreme heat. Circuit training can be a good option too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Compression during exercise. Let's nail this down. Required for remedial exercises, you said.
Yes. Non-negotiable for those specific ones. For flexibility. Well, the NLN kind of lumps it in with the aerobic resistance guidelines.
Okay, so what are those guidelines?
It's best decided with a knowledgeable professional, tailored to you, but generally. Most experts advise wearing compression during vigorous exercise if you have lymphedema.
Vigorous exercise.
Yeah. There was one study suggesting resistance exercise without compression might increase swelling. But then again, another study found that women at risk could safely do aerobic and weights without compression.
Mm, okay.
And if they did develop lymphedema later, they could just continue exercising with compression then.
So a bit complex, especially for the at-risk group.
It is. Mm-hmm. Always circle back to that professional fitting, though. If compression is used, get it fitted properly. Class on a minimum arm for arms, maybe higher for severe case or legs. And that hand piece with a sleeve is usually recommended.
Right, the glove or gauntlet. Okay. And just to be crystal clear, who exactly falls into that at-risk category?
People who haven't got lymphedema yet, but their lymphatic system has taken a hit somehow. Lymph node removal, radiation near nodes, surgery near lymph vessels. Even a family history can play a role.
And risk isn't static. It can change.
Definitely. Weight gain, getting older, other medical issues popping up, those can change your risk profile over time.
Okay. So if we had to summarize the NLN's overall stance on exercise.
It's vital. Essential for management, part of a healthy life. Get medical clearance first. Lymphedema remedial exercises are part of CDT. Integrate them into maintenance routines. Aerobic and resistance. Safe and recommended.
Work with a pro.
Highly beneficial. PT or OT with lymphedema experience is great for designing your program. If you use a general trainer, ask about their experience with lymphedema.
Compression for exercise.
Generally recommended for confirmed lymphedema. For at-risk, it's that individual discussion with your healthcare team. Most exercise types are good for at-risk folks, if tailored right.
Key precautions.
Avoid repetitive overuse of the limb. Increase duration intensity gradually. Stop if there's pain, swelling, discomfort. The benefits of exercise outweigh the risks, generally. But remember, these are general principles. Always get personalized medical advice.
Got it. Okay, let's move on to healthy habits and risk reduction. These sound like preventative measures.
Well, more like risk reduction measures.
Yeah.
It's crucial to understand. They aren't guarantees you won't get lymphedema. Mm-hmm. They're based on, you know, common sense, understanding the body, clinical experience.
And again, individualized.
Absolutely. Working with a certified lymphedema therapist, CLT, and your doctor is key to figuring out what makes sense for you.
So for someone just at risk, what are the main recommendations?
Maintain a healthy weight diet and exercise. Increase activity gradually. Rest often during activity. Monitor that at-risk area closely. Any changes, take note. Keep the skin clean, dry, moisturized daily.
Skincare seems big.
Huge. Careful nail care. Don't cut cuticles. Protect the sunscreen bug spray. Be careful with razors. Talk to your CLT about your specific risks and about compression for things like air travel or heavy activity.
If compression's used, make sure it fits.
Always. Follow up regularly with the CLT. Report any changes. Know the signs of infection, rash, itching, redness, pain, heat, swelling, fever, flu-like stuff, get medical help immediately if those appear.
What about minor injuries?
Wash scratches or punctures well with soap and water. Use topical antibiotics. Maybe keep a small first aid kit when traveling. Wear gloves for tasks that might injure the skin. Try to avoid punctures, injections, blood draws on that limb if possible.
Clothing, jewelry.
Loose is better. Avoid heavy bags on that side. Try to avoid blood pressure cuffs on the at-risk arm too.
We'll come back to that BP cuff thing. What else?
Avoid extreme cold or prolonged heat. Avoid standing or sitting still for ages. Move around. Wear properly fitted shoes and socks hosiery.
Okay, quite a list for the at-risk group. Now, what about for people who already have confirmed lymphedema?
The principles build on that, but with even more emphasis on consistency and vigilance. Regular follow-ups with lymphedema pros are critical. Schedule depends on your needs.
Report any changes.
Any changes at all. Size, feeling, color, temperature, skin condition. If you gain or lose significant weight, see your therapist might need therapy or garment adjustments.
Maintain normal weight. Follow exercise advice.
Yes, and specifically exercise advice for lymphedema, as the wrong kind could make it worse. Wear your usual compression for air travel, exercise, exertion. Care for garments properly. Replace them when needed.
Cellulitis.
Treat it urgently. Every single time.
Yeah.
Know the signs. If it keeps happening, talk to your doctor about maybe suppressive antibiotics. Keep up that meticulous skincare hygiene, moisturizer. Check it's okay with your garments.
And avoiding trauma sounds even more critical.
Absolutely paramount.
Yeah.
Protect against falls, burns, fractures. If you do get injured, get care and call your lymphedema provider as swelling increases or lasts. Venipuncture blood draws and form the phlebotomist. Use the other arm if you can.
If they have to use the affected arm.
Ask for someone experienced. Ask them to be gentle. Avoid multiple tries. If trauma happens, clean it. Cold pack. Elevate. Call your provider if no better in 24 hours.
Yeah.
Treat skin breaks fast. Protective gear for risky activities. Professional nail care might be needed, especially for leg lymphedema. Good foot hygiene. Treat fungal infections. Good hand hygiene for arm lymphedema. Soften cuticles. Careful with manicures.
What about constriction?
Avoid it. Improperly fitting garments, tight clothes, tight bras, underwires, misused BP cuffs, all potential problems.
That's temperature extremes.
Avoid those too. Heat and cold. If you need surgery, tell the surgeon you have lymphedema beforehand. Discuss the post-op plan.
For leg lymphedema specifically.
Avoid stasis. That means don't sit or stand still for long periods without moving or elevating your legs. And check with your doctor about treating varicose veins if you have them alongside leg lymphedema.
And air travel.
Same advice essentially. Wear your compression, move around, exercise the limb gently, stay hydrated. Consistency is key.
Okay. Let's circle back to some of those controversies or points of discussion that came up. Blood pressure cuffs on the at-risk limb.
Yeah, the sources revisit this. They acknowledge there aren't definitive studies proving high risk, but they point out the theoretical difference between the focused high pressure of a standard cuff versus the gentler gradient pressure of treatment devices.
And potential user error with home machines.
Right. So the recommendation remains, use the unaffected arm if possible. If you must use the at-risk arm, ask for manual reading, maybe with lower pressure.
What about mammograms? Any risk there?
No evidence they cause or worsen lymphedema. That seems clear.
Shaving.
Using a clean razor on clean skin? Probably fine. But be careful if you have reduced sensation or can't see the area well. Avoid dry shaving, rusty razors, or shaving over skin folds, wounds, deep creases. Common sense, really.
Heat and cold. You mentioned avoiding extremes.
Yes, the evidence is a bit mixed, apparently. So the advice is caution, limit exposure. Monitor your limb's reaction if swelling increases. Stop. There's a theoretical risk of tissue damage from extremes or systemic heat-raising core body temp.
And it seems important that medical facilities know what they're doing.
Definitely. Having policies to protect at-risk limbs, making sure staff are aware of precautions, that's highlighted as important.
Okay. Lastly, let's touch on the RAIN Center. Their website was one of the sources. What's their focus?
They specialize in venous circulation veins, so things like leg swelling, pain from poor circulation. But they also have a clear interest in lymphedema.
So related areas.
Very related. They emphasize their commitment to research, medical advancement, patient health, and they offer resources, podcasts on things like DVT, venous conditions. Could be useful for listeners wanting to learn more there.
And their website has patient info.
Yeah, FAQs, info on conditions they treat, including lymphedema. Seems like a solid resource to check out for more on venous and lymphatic health.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. key takeaways from this whole deep dive?
I think first, understanding your individual risk factors is step one.
Mm-hmm.
Then compression, how important it is, especially for air travel and exercise, if you have diagnosed lymphedema.
Right. And exercise itself safe. Gradual exercise offers huge benefits. Plus that meticulous skincare. Avoiding trauma, avoiding constriction. Those seem like constant themes.
Absolutely vital. And maybe the biggest message weaving through it all, talk to the experts, healthcare pros, certified lymphedema therapists, get personalized guidance, develop a plan that works for you.
Couldn't agree more.
Exactly. We really hope diving into these sources has maybe untangled things a bit, shown how air travel, exercise, daily habits, how they all connect.
Yeah, the goal was practical guidance without, you know, just throwing tons of information at you.
Hopefully we hit that mark.
So maybe a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on. Looking back at everything we've talked about, what recommendation really clicked for you? What feels most relevant right now?
And maybe what's one small next step you could take? Maybe it's looking up a CLT, exploring the NLN website, checking out those RAND Center podcasts.
Just something to keep the momentum going, right? Taking proactive steps for your lymphatic health, understanding your risk better. It's all about empowerment and continuing to learn.